part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
This episode of Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Newark Auto Body. With winter weather and slick road conditions comes black ice and accidents. And if you've been in an accident and your car needs a little TLC, look no further than Newark Auto Body in Zanesville Auto Body. Safe, reliable collision repairs is their business. Newark Auto Body in Zanesville Auto Body is a local family-run and veteran-owned business serving Newark, Zanesville, and surrounding areas. And guess what? They work with all insurance providers to make your experience hassle-free. And if you are a U.S. military veteran, even better. Ask about their special discounts for vets at the shop, and they'll be happy to help. Look, it can be hard finding a trustworthy car mechanic, but people over at Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body have you covered. They care for you first and make sure they keep you safe and back on the road. Visit them at autobodyofnewark.com and autobodyofzanesville.com to get your repair started. Our iCar Gold Class team of skilled collision repair technicians will make your vehicle like new again. Head on over to our show notes for links and tell them Press Play sent you.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Hey, what's good? Thanks for stopping by to the latest edition of Cavs on the Break NBA podcast right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. We are talking NBA playoffs. It has finally arrived, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are postseason bound. I'm John Sable, along with Sam Amico from HoopsWire.com. Sam, you ready for some playoff hoops?
Oh, I sure am. It's the season's gone fast, but at the same time, I feel like, yeah, let's just get the playoffs going and see what happens next.
Well, we finally have a date on when this game is going to happen here, and it's less than a week from now, as we record this here on Sunday, April 14th, the Cavaliers will play Saturday, this coming Saturday here in April the 20th, and they will be playing the Orlando Magic. How did we get here? Where are we going? We're going to get into all that right now. So the Cavs wrapped up the regular season this afternoon, losing to the hapless Charlotte Hornets. In a game the Cavs had in control, Sam, we're not going to spend more than 3 minutes on this because it's meaningless. It's just, I think, annoying. They lose to the Hornets 120 to 110 to finish the season 48-34. All the starters pretty much out. Most of the starters are role bench guys or the first bench guys done at the end of the third quarter or halftime, rather. And then it was a bunch of G Leaguers out there on the court for the fourth quarter. Cavs blew a 8-point lead heading into the fourth and lost. And not what you probably want to see because it affected their seeding, which we'll get into in a moment, but I know you were watching it and you were probably thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I just thought, I was a little surprised that they didn't go for the higher seed. You know, and at that time you didn't really know the outcome of the Milwaukee game, I don't think, which is if Milwaukee had lost, you know, the Cavs would have had an opportunity to win the Central Division, but just didn't want to get anybody hurt. I clearly thought, you know, they probably would have a better shot at the playoffs. That's all I could come up with, a better shot in the playoffs and a more favorable type of deal to get out of the first round would be my guess. So it didn't really, clearly winning that particular game didn't really matter to them. And as I wrote in my story, John, at least they're not playing the Hornets in the first round because they've they really needed a big run to beat them at home last time, and then they've lost two straight to Charlotte. They've lost twice to Charlotte, and Charlotte's only won 21 games, and two of those wins have been over the Cavs. But yeah, to me, that was just, you know, I didn't think it was a huge deal that they didn't win and didn't win the division. They wouldn't have won anyway because Milwaukee won. So maybe at that point they kind of realized, you know, the Bucks had a big lead. Let's just rest our guys. We're not going to finish, you know, above the Knicks at that point. So I think that was that, and just decided this is our seed and this is what we got to do. We're going to have to beat the best anyway to get to the, you know, to get to the finals anyway. So let's just do it like this.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of just annoying because the Hornets are just so bad. And for whatever reason, they were just causing them fits those last two outings. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, when we've done previous podcasts talking about the remaining strength of schedule, the Cavs had an easier strength of schedule because it was weighted so heavily based off of the Hornets being one of the worst teams in the league with a win-loss record, which is kind of interesting considering they both lost those two games. But hey, it's over and done with. I think it was a little annoying, though, that you kind of gave up that seed. And this is what we're kind of the picture we're going to paint for you now. So the Cavs win, or if the Cavs lose, you know, they're locked into the four. They played the Magic. You didn't know the outcome, like you said, of the Bucks then, who were playing the Magic. And you didn't know the outcome of the Knicks game, who were playing the Bulls. But you knew the Bucks were losing. And if had the Cavs won, the Cavs not only would have taken over the three seed with the Bucks currently have, the Cavs would have won the Central Division, which is funny because in the NBA, the conference or the division is meaningless. It just it doesn't make a difference. It's all about – they should actually just get rid of the divisions. But it would
just
be –
just a what, banner. It's a banner. All it is.
It's a banner. It's exactly right. And I think it is kind of funny, though, that when you do think of, like, the banner, the Cavs hadn't – what – a Central Division title since what the last year with LeBron, right? So
yeah, I think that's it. 2018.
It's just kind of an added interest. But here's the thing with JB and the staff, we're probably weighing is, you know what? We rest these guys, and we're not talking Donovan. We're talking about like the guys that played the game yesterday or today. You rest them. You're basically you're playing your seed, but you're playing for your second round opponent basically. And if you would have won that game, you were either going to play the Knicks in the second round or the Celtics. And so now we're assuming all these teams would move on. The Cavs, if they beat the Magic, which we'll get into our predictions in a little bit, would play Boston.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, something that you think about. The first thing I will say is the Cavs have the most favorable first-round matchup in the entire playoffs. So that's the good news. And that's not to say they're going to sweep the Magic or any of that, but of all the teams that, you know, you look at in the playoffs, I forget the play-in games, but in the actual playoffs, the top six seeds in each conference, the Orlando Magic are probably looked at as the team that you would want to play in the first round. They really are.
I would agree with you 100%, and I think that's what the Cavs thought too.
Yeah, because they're the youngest team. They're like you said, we'll get into this later, but they're the youngest team. They have the least amount of playoff experience. They don't really strike fear in the hearts of anybody because of those things. But, you know, as you said, John, should the Cavs win, we're presuming that Boston is going to beat the number 8 seed, which could be the Miami Heat, right? It could be Boston, Miami again in the first round. At the last year's Eastern Conference Finals, couldn't Miami finish with the 8th seed?
They could.
Yeah.
Win the play-in, because it's Miami, Philly, and then Atlanta and Chicago on the other side of the play-in. Good.
Right. So, I mean, it could be Miami. It could be Philly with Embiid, with a healthy Embiid, or we're presuming he's healthy. So, you know, if I'm the Cavs, I would much rather play Orlando in the first round than Philadelphia with Joel Embiid or the defending Eastern Conference champion Miami Heat, who always play their best in the playoffs. I just think, you know, the Cavs have a more favorable matchup than the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. They have a more favorable matchup than the Milwaukee Bucks or New York Knicks. So to me, it worked out well. If you're just talking about the first round, that's where I'd want to be, 4th, with home court advantage against the Orlando Magic.
So, but Sam, do you think they looked at it like, we're not really caring about our second round? We're just going to keep everything right here? Like, we're not looking forward? Because you kind of have to look forward a little bit, right? Because if that's the case, your second round matchup would be against the Knicks or Boston. Like, the Cavs, I think, they don't match up well against either one of those teams. And I think the Knicks is probably a harder matchup, but Boston's still the best team, despite the Knicks being the best, hottest team right now heading into the postseason in the East.
Yeah, I think if you had, you know, theoretically, if you thought that you could get the number 2 seed and have home court advantage in the second round against the Knicks, you know, that would be the number three seed, the Knicks. That probably would have been more ideal than what, presuming everything goes according to plan, that would have been better than facing the Celtics in the second round without home court advantage. Yeah, so I think there's something to that. That said, John, you know, again, the Knicks are playing who? The Pacers. So the Bucks are, did the Bucks finish second then?
No, the Bucks in the seeding, they finished third.
Okay. So the Knicks are going to have to play, let's say the number two seed, they're going to have to play probably Philly in the first round or Miami in the first round would be my guess. I don't think Chicago or Atlanta are getting into the 7 and 8 seeds. So that's probably going to be Philly and Miami or vice versa, Miami and Philly. So, I mean, yeah, you look at that. There's no, to me, Miami and New York or Philly and New York, those series are toss-ups. I mean, that's really a toss-up. Even though the Knicks are hot, I don't think that there's any, they're not that much better than Philly when Philly has Joel Embiid. They're not that much better than Miami.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, if you're the Cavs, you were going to have to beat Boston at some point anyway, I'm presuming, whether it would be in the second round or the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think for the Cavs, they want to try to get some momentum and get into the second round. That's their goal. Get some momentum going into the second round, and you do that by winning your first round series. And then, you know, you figure anything can happen. Maybe they get clicking against Orlando like they were in January or something along those lines. Playing somebody like Orlando gives you a better chance to kind of get into a groove. You know, this is all obviously theories, but Orlando is the team, again, that everybody would have wanted to face in the first round. The Cavs got them.
Well, when you put it that way, too, it does make the easiest matchup. Orlando was the easiest matchup for them. So, you know, if they looked up in the out-of-town scoreboard there at the Fieldhouse and they see Orlando is beating Milwaukee pretty handedly, well, they're like, well, they're crushing them. That they're not going to blow that lead. That means that's set. We'll play them first round. We're okay with that. Yeah. I also think, though, they had obviously all the scenarios in place before, but they also had to weigh, I think they like their matchup against Boston more than they like the Knicks, you know? I think
Could be.
Looking ahead. People always say, oh, you can't look too far ahead. That's right, but sometimes when you're in situations like this, it doesn't happen very often in sports, especially in the NBA, where everything is so tight. We have this much balance, so you kind of, in a way, control your destiny to a certain extent, and you're controlling where you are. Sam, I can't remember a time in the NBA where the seedings in both conferences were this tight, and you kind of pick and choose where you wanted to play, and that's what the Cavs did. I don't want to say the Cavs quit. They kind of quit a little bit in the fourth quarter when they, you know.
Well, I think they said here, you know, if our, you know, basically G leaguers can get it done, they get it done, and so be it. But I think that they put them out there assuming they probably wouldn't get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's never been this tight. Even last year came down to the last, you know, week. Today it was like 6 or 7 seeds were determined league-wide on the final day of the season, which is almost, that's unheard of.
It is, and it's just not the East. It was the West, too, for the top three. I mean, Oklahoma City and Denver finished in a three-way tie, but Oklahoma City has the tiebreaker. Who would have thought the Thunder would be the number one seed in the Western Conference when we did our preview season pod back in the fall, you know? And when you see how everything finished out in the regular season standings, I mean, between the Knicks 2 seed and the Sixers 7 seed, 3 games separated those teams. 3 games in the standings.
That's insane. Yeah.
And if you're the Cavs, I mean, you can always nitpick losses, but that loss a few weeks ago and they blew the 20-point lead looms large in my mind. you know, who was that to? The Clippers.
The Clippers, they were up 26.
Yeah.
And ended up blowing, losing it's by just two. Like,
hey, can't look back all the time, but it is just kind of interesting to look at that. Hey, you know what? There was a lot of injuries issues this year with the Cavaliers. We know that. We know that they're, you know, walking into the, you know, walking wounded here, so to speak. They're trying to get healthy. But I found it very interesting, even with all these injuries, the Cavs finished with a record of 48-34, three games worse than last year.
Yeah.
With all those injuries. That is, it's had this team been healthy, they would have been north of 50 wins, and they probably would have been a locked in at number two seed, no problem anyways.
Yeah, right. And, you know, again, then you're number two seed and getting ready to play the 76ers or Heat, which is, that's a lot scarier. It's a lot scarier than being the fourth seed and playing the Orlando Magic. So,
yeah, it's
and
true.
I like their chances against, let's say they do get to the second round, everything plays out as it should. I like the Cavs' chances every bit as much against Boston, if not more, than I would the Knicks.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah.
And so they thought all that out.
Yeah. And like I just said, maybe they did. Maybe they looked at that in terms of the stretchness of the size of this team matches up much better with Boston.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see how these injuries are going to roll with the Cavs here as we head into here. The Cavs have Monday off. They're going to have a practice Tuesday. And that'll be the first media availability, I believe, for them before the practices ramp up for game one coming up on Saturday. But we know Donovan's going to play. We know he's still not 100%. He won't be 100% until next year. Whether he'll admit that or not, or whether the Cavs admit that or not, that's just the case. And that's okay. But you're seeing guys like Strus having a great game against Charlotte. He looked good. You needed to see that out of him. I think it's safe to say we're not going to see Dean Wade the rest of the year.
No.
With that knee injury.
Whatever it is.
What?
Or however it happened, we'll never know.
Which is still a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Huge mystery.
LeVert, we don't know about him with his knee, and Darius with his back, too. So you're getting some guys that are. Oh, and by the way, Craig Porter Jr. Sprained his ankle earlier in the game today.
Yeah, right.
That hurts depth. But, yeah. I mean, in an emergency situation, doesn't hurt them that all much. But we like to see what's going to happen with LeVert, and Garland should be fine. But LeVert is the one out of those three that I'm most curious about. What about you?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think they're all going to play game one. But it seems like, to me anyway, this is obviously just guessing, that Garland's back situation was only enough to keep him out of this game, that they didn't care if they won. Mm-hmm. And I think if they needed this win for home court advantage in the first round, LeVert would have played. So I think that's the impression that I got anyway. So I think that those guys are going to be fine. I don't think Craig Porter Jr., he wasn't going to be a part of the playoff rotation anyway, like you said, in emergency situations, but now they've lost that at the very least for the first round. So, yeah, I think that they're, you know, healthy now. It's just, it's all going to be about cohesion, you know, and I don't question that, but it left itself open to question after the All-Star break. Is, you know, they've had a very uneven season starting with the All-Star break to the end of the regular season. And now part of that, you know, the Mitchell injury and all that, but they've been kind of clunky a little bit here and there, if not a lot. And they can't play this way even against Orlando in the first round. And I mean, they've had some good moments, but, you know, you've got to come out and you've got to take those first two games at home and set the tone for the series and get it over with pretty quickly.
I mean, this team has a monkey on its back, no doubt, from last year's epic disappointment against the Knicks. They got to win this series.
Absolutely.
And we're going to get into our preview prediction on the series in a moment. before we take a break and a commercial break here, Sam, I do want to bring up one other thing. When we're talking about the playoffs with the seedings with the out west with the Thunder being the number one seed, a team that has loaded with draft picks. You're texting me today. How many draft picks do they have in the next few years?
They have like 12 over the next 3 or 4 years.
You think Kobe Altman's going to want to call them and be like, hey, can I get some of those?
It might not be a bad idea. Yeah.
And how many draft picks do the Cavs have in that time span?
Like 3.
Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
this year's the one.
If they have that many.
I believe this is the last year for a first-round draft pick for the Cavs in the next 5 years, is it not?
Well, you have to have one every other year, I'm pretty sure, don't you?
Right, but then they trade those with Donovan and then the swaps too.
Yeah, I'm not real positive about all that. I know that they don't have very many picks for over the next 5 years because of the Donovan Mitchell trade.
Yeah, that's
All I can tell you. Is there's not very many.
Well, I shouldn't say picks. I mean, first round picks. I'm sorry. First round, yes.
Yeah.
And I just looked it up. The Cavs do not have a first round draft pick after 2024 until 2030.
Okay, so the next 6 years. Mm-hmm. Well,
win or go home, yeah. Boys.
Yeah, that's true. That, you know, losing to the Magic in the first round would be considered a colossal failure. I suspect that the Cavs are going to come out very physical because they know what people said about them last year. They now have that 1 year of playoff experience. Darius Garland, who was a playoff rookie last year. Evan Mobley, a playoff rookie. Isaac Okoro. Jared Allen was basically a playoff rookie, and Caris LeVert was too. They played like 4 games with the Nets at one point, and they weren't huge players on those teams. That's really like your core last year. Well, they got that experience. Orlando, you look at Orlando, they're going through the same thing this year. All their key players are playoff rookies.
It's a very young team in Orlando, exceeded many expectations. Let's do this. Let's take a break real quick here, and we're going to dive deep into this preview of this first-round series with the Cavs and the Magic coming up right after this. You're listening to Cavs on the Break NBA podcast.
What's up, everyone? I'm Holly Wetzel.
And I'm Tyrus Powell.
And we are your hosts of The Orange is Oranger, a Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network. We give you all the dog pound coverage that you'll need to get you through the regular season, hopeful postseason, and I'd say off-season, Tyvus, but is there really ever an off-season for this team?
Thankfully for our podcast, Holly, there really never is when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Don't miss our breakdown of each week's matchup, game recaps, and any and all news out of Berea to feed your Browns appetite. As we know, Holly, dogs gotta eat.
Yes, they do. So hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode of the Orange is Oranger, Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Looking for new insights on the Cleveland sports scene with a unique side of Cleveland sports history? Then you found the perfect podcast. I'm John Sable.
And I'm Scott Sable, and we're hosts of the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, a podcast about Cleveland sports, but not your typical podcast about the land's sports teams. Join us as we embark on a journey of sharing a unique and historical side of Cleveland sports history with the help of some former Cleveland sports stars and other historical figures.
All right here on the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Cavs on the Break listeners, we have teamed up with Columbus-based company Homage. You may know them. We've been talking about them on the podcast for a few months. And boy, did they produce some great merch for you when it comes to upgrading your swag game in your closet. They are Columbus and Cleveland and Cincinnati and all of the surrounding markets home for your professional sports teams in Cleveland. You got the Cavs, the Guardians, the Browns, college, Ohio State, Mac, NHL, pop culture, you name it. Sam, they have some really cool clothes when it comes to t-shirts and hoodies and shorts, and it's high quality as well.
And they have Austin Carr, which I have. The Austin Carr as a player t-shirt. That is just amazing. I even told AC that I had it, and we talked a little bit about it. We talked about Homage and all the kind of gear that I've gotten over the years from them. Usually, you know, obviously the t-shirts have been just my favorite thing. And there's just so many of them. Obviously, as being an NBA guy and a guy who loves classic NBA stuff, you know, I just love their spin on everything when it comes to how they design retro t-shirts. Frankly, that's been, I mean, I think I probably have like close to a dozen of them over the years. I've got them just because I love the designs.
The retro stuff and the NBA Jam stuff's awesome. They do NFL Jam, MLB Jam now. I've got an old school one with Mark Price and Brad Daugherty on it. That was one of my favorite ones. They sent me a cool Cavs one recently with the old gold script from the 70s. I mean, these guys over there keep knocking it out, Sam, with all those new designs and those retro designs and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I have an NBA Jam with Kevin McHale and Larry Bird, I believe. So they offered me, you know, a chance to pick my own NBA Jam t-shirt. And one of the ones, I believe, was Price and Daugherty. And I took Bird and McHale instead.
Oh, no. I'm telling Mark on you.
Yeah, I don't know. He may know that story. But, yeah, I love it. And just because I have so much Cavs stuff. And it's kind of funny that I went with Austin Carr but not Mark Price. But I loved it. I was excited as, you know, when you used to get stuff in the mail as a kid, you'd be real excited. That's how I felt when I got the Austin Carr t-shirt finally showed up. So, yeah, I mean, and some of their old school stuff that I have, like Tampa Bay Buccaneers old school logo, yeah,
Bucko Bruce, t-shirt.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of stuff like that that obviously modern fans of modern teams and their logos and stuff can go to shop, but I stick to the retro stuff, and I just love it because to me it's the best retro stuff out there.
No doubt, for sure. And they also have pop culture stuff, WWE, you name it, college. Head on over to our show notes. We have a link for you to browse and upgrade your closet with whatever you need. Big thanks to Homage. Check them out.
Hey, I'm Jason.
And I'm Gary.
And we love Ball Cards.
And if you love Ball Cards too, good news. You just found your new favorite podcast. From breaks to grading.
And from collecting to flipping, join us on The Ball Card Show.
The sports podcast for the sports collector.
Welcome back to Cavs on the Break, NBA podcast right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. John Sable here alongside Sam Amico with HoopsWire. And you can follow Sam at Amico Hoops on Twitter. Follow the pod at Cavs on the Break. Follow yours truly at John_Sable. All right, we've been kind of teasing a little bit. You talked a little bit about the matchups. Let's dive right into this. Predictions or preview, what are you looking here? We looking at the experience. Cavs have that. Cavs have, you know, probably the better X factor all-star, Donovan Mitchell. We get that. You know, they have the height.
Yeah.
Presence in the paint. They've got that. Despite both these teams splitting two games, they both won two games during the regular season. Despite all that, Orlando's still a tough team in terms of these really young players that can shoot and are very athletic. What are you looking at here in terms of this matchup?
Well, obviously, Orlando has good size with Banchero, Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, Wendell Carter Jr. You know, those guys have all had really good seasons. And then, you know, they've got a real interesting kind of the way their backcourt is, you know, and I'm looking at this, and Banchero played 79 games, Cole Anthony 80, Mo Wagner 79, Franz Wagner 71, Jalen Suggs 74. A lot of these guys have played a lot of games. They didn't have a lot of serious injuries. Markel Fultz, who's always injured, but he's a key part of the rotation. He only played 42 games. Carter Jr. only played 54. But, I mean, that right there is your rotation, your playoff rotation pretty much. Gary Harris, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's the one veteran guy in there. He's probably your ninth man. But if you're, you know, the Cavs, you look at the rosters on paper, obviously the Cavs are better right now. They are on paper because they have the playoff experience. Like you said, they have the one real, and Banchero's an all-star too, but the Cavs have the one real experienced all-star in Mitchell. You would think that they would win that backcourt matchup with Garland and Mitchell. On paper, they should. Suggs is a top-notch defender. He's probably going to be all defense, all NBA defensive team. So he's probably going to spend a lot of time on Mitchell. But to me, I just think, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, Garland now, Max Strus, who went to the finals last year with the Heat, and Donovan Mitchell, you're just talking starting five. There's no reason. There's no reason the Cavs shouldn't. I don't even want to say, seven. I don't know if it's going to go five or seven, but it shouldn't go more than six. It really shouldn't.
It shouldn't. No.
There's no excuse if it does. If this is going to a seventh game, you're disappointed if you're the Cavs. Because, and this is not to take away from Orlando. It's just, the Cavs should be who the Knicks were last year. Hey, we're the more experienced team. We're the veteran team. We're the more physical team. This is how playoff basketball is played. And the Orlando Magic, because of that, should look like a deer in headlights. There's no reason that should be, the series should play out any other way than that. The Cavs should be the dominant team that is just, to me, just setting the tone for the entire series in those first two games. So to me, it's you've got to make quick work of them. You should, because if you're playing your best basketball, the Orlando Magic just don't have the playoff experience. And that's why that's why teams would want to play them. To me, when I looked at the Eastern Conference, I thought there are two teams and only two teams that I would favor the Cavs in the first round. And that would be the Magic and then the Pacers. And unless you ended up somehow playing the Bulls or Hawks, which that was a long shot because you would need the Bulls and Hawks to get in out of the play-in tournament. But I even like the Cavs matchup against the Magic more than I would the Bulls or Hawks, because the Magic are so inexperienced and this is all new to them. They're, what the Orlando Magic are? They're the ultimate, we're just happy to be here, man, team.
Yeah, it's the old adage. Oh, I'm like the eighth seed in the NBA playoffs. You're happy to be there in the old way of doing
it. Yeah. No, the Orlando Magic thought we had a great run. This regular season is something to build off of. And they're right. They're right. We had a great run. Regular season is something that we can continue to do. And we got into the playoffs. And next year we'll try to win a round. That's their thinking going into. Yeah, they would love to pull off an upset and do all that, but and I'm sure they're thinking, hey, the Cavs haven't been all that great lately either. We can maybe get out of the first round. Wouldn't that be something? But the Cavs need to end that thinking real quickly, and I kind of suspect they will.
I think so too. I mean, you bring up great points. The Cavs were the Knicks last year, tested, hungry, eager. Now they're trying to get healthy. You've got a big X factor here that we didn't have last year in Cleveland, and that was a Max Strus type player, a guy who's been to the postseason countless times, who just has NBA Finals experience last year with Miami. I mean, that's big.
Yeah, it's going to help having George. I know people are down on George Niang, but it will help having him around the team and in the locker room, John, because he's been in these situations before with Philly and with Utah. And I just think that it helps having guys like that. It probably helps having Tristan Thompson and Marcus Morris too. Those guys have been around and they've been in these big games and they can, they may not come in and play much, but if they did, they won't be shell shocked. And in the locker room, they're going to be, those roles in the locker room and on the sideline are very important. I saw Darius the other night when the Cavs were playing the Pacers in what was the equivalent of a playoff game. And Tristan was standing on the sideline coaching Darius and yelling at him like in a way that should, you know, he was coaching him. And Darius responded. So Darius hit one of the two biggest shots of that game. So I think just having those veterans around, even if they don't get in the game, it's very helpful to them.
When Tristan Thompson went out with that suspension for the PED usage, someone in the Cavaliers had told me when I was at practice one day that they desperately missed Tristan Thompson. And I kind of laughed. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, he hadn't done anything all year. He's obviously past his prime. And he mentioned to me it's his energy and his leadership and coaching ability to these younger guys. And I guess that's not had been talked about enough this year, was guys like Tristan Thompson and even like George Niang, veteran guys taking some of these younger players under their wings, but also being that vocal leader in the locker room, which you didn't have last year, you know? And that is telling. And that can be a big difference in some playoff type atmospheres for some players and for young teams. And so, yeah, you had Donovan Mitchell there that had been there, but he can't do it all, you know? So, but you've got some people in there now that are battle tested in the playoffs, Max Strus, George Niang, obviously Tristan, but also even a guy like Marcus Morris, who they just brought in. I mean, he's played, I'm looking up his stats right now, Sam, 67 career playoff games. That's insane. Yeah. That's a quiet 67 playoff game. So,
yeah, right.
You know, the Magic are the fourth youngest team in the league and also one of the least experienced teams in the league that just happened to be in the playoffs. That's also a factor here. You know, with that being said, and Cavs having home court in this first round, if they lose this series, all hell's going to break loose over there in Independence. And it's not going to be good. But we're not going to go there. If that happens, we'll discuss, but I don't think it will. I really like this matchup for them. I really like guys like we just mentioned, these playoff experienced guys that have been there that are going to, you know, hopefully contribute. But I think Donovan Mitchell's at a different clip right now. I think even though that he's been hurt, you hear him, you hear his interviews, he's got a little edge to him right now. He's getting, I don't know if anxious is the right word, Sam, but, you know, he's ready to kind of prove some of these doubters wrong a little bit.
Yeah.
You kind of hear it too with Jared Allen a little bit as well.
Yep. Well, because Jared Allen took so much grief after the playoffs last year when the whole lights were too bright comment.
Or too soft.
Yeah, and he was viewed as too soft, not physical enough. So I think that's going to change. I think that they're very hungry, and it is clear. I sat there Friday at Donovan Mitchell's post-game press conference, and, I mean, he just said, look, last year was last year. We're a different team. And I think that, you know, some of the pieces that we've added and the fact that we grew from learning that you can't basically be soft in the playoffs, you're going to get away with more, which is new, you know, to players who don't have playoff experience. It's all new when they go in there and they're getting banged around and pushed around. The refs are letting it go. That's a little different than the regular season. So I think that they learned from that. I think that they know what the narrative around them is. And the fact that they're also playing as such an inexperienced team. Yeah, if Donovan Mitchell, and he looked great against the Pacers, that was a playoff game, John. They had lost that playoff. If they've lost that game to the Pacers, we'd be talking about them, you know, as a sixth seed getting ready to play the Bucks or the Knicks, or you know what I mean? So, without home court advantage. So, and he really, really came through that game. And so, you know what? So did a lot of other guys in that game. I mean, Garland hit that huge three with 50 seconds left. They were up two when he hit it, put him up five. That was basically the game. So I just think, I'm not too concerned about them. You know, obviously you got to stay healthy. I wouldn't be surprised to see, as you said, Mitchell have a huge series. The one thing I would like to see, which is just a small, tiny little X factor thing. If Dean Wade were healthy, he would play. He would be in the rotation, right?
Yeah, he would.
Okay. So he's not here. So play Marcus Morris.
Yes.
Because he didn't do that Friday against the Pacers. And I'm like, where is Dean Wade would be playing in this game? Why can't you replace his minutes with Marcus Morris? Because to me, Morris shows a lot when he plays. He shows a lot of, he hits outside shots, he defends, he gets after it, he's edgy. I just think, now maybe, you know, granted, is Marcus Morris going to make a difference in winning and losing in a series against the Magic? Probably not. But at the same time, I think that he will help you win games just as much as Dean Wade was doing. And I don't understand, if Dean Wade's not there, why you don't, because he would be playing if he were healthy. He would be playing anywhere from 10 to 25 minutes a game. So where are those minutes going? To me, they should go to Morris. I mean, those minutes are going to be there. And I just think that, because this is the playoffs and you need veteran guys to play during the playoffs, and he's one of them.
Do you think he's going to get the minutes over Thompson? He should.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that he offers more in the sense that he can stretch the court a little bit. He can hit threes. And, you know, a lot of it's depending on matchups. Now, maybe against Orlando, because they're big, you know, you're going to put – the one thing I will say about Tristan is, even though he's not the player he once was, he still goes in there and just annoys the heck out of the other team, especially on the offensive glass. And he serves his purpose, and he knows what his role is, and that's to go out there and just, you know, battle under the boards and make everybody else miserable on the other team, and he does that. So there's a case to be made for Tristan, too.
How deep do you think JB is going to go on this rotation? Seven, eight guys, nine guys?
My concern is eight. I hope it's and you know, if eight works, then it's eight. But you've got your five starters, right? You've got Okoro. You've got LaVert off the bench. You've got Niang. We know that those guys are going to play, right? So that's eight.
Can't be more than that, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You would be using nine if you had Dean Wade. So why can't you use Marcus Morris as the ninth man? And then if you know, if Allen or Mobley or somebody gets into foul trouble or something, then depending on matchups, you either go to Morris or you go to Tristan. But to me, it's like Dean Wade was going to be playing. Why can't you? So that would make nine deep. Why can't you play Morris? To me, I just think you have to.
So here's a question for you. Where does Sam Merrill fit in that rotation?
Yeah, probably out. Emergency shooter or out. Yeah, I mean, you can't play. You're going to play your starters a lot of minutes in the playoffs because you have a lot of trust in them. And if they can't get it going, if somebody can't get it going, like Max Strus doesn't get it going, let's say, he's probably the most likely to not get it going.
or Caris LeVert if he's
right. Well, yeah. then you know, then you're looking at playing a lot more of LeVert if Strus isn't going, and Okoro. And then if you really are like, we need to spread the court, nobody can hit a shot, that's when you call Superman off the bench and bring Sam Merrill in, and you're hoping that he's knocking them down. But see, the nice thing about depth isn't that everybody's going to play. It's that you have guys who, when called upon, can produce. They've proven they can produce. And that's Sam Merrill, you know, Tristan, Marcus Morris. Those guys, when they're called upon, that's where your depth comes in. It doesn't mean they're going to be playing 15, 20 minutes. It just means, okay, you know, Evan Mobley doesn't have it going tonight. We need some extra outside shooting. And we need help in the front court. We're going to put in Marcus Morris. I mean, that's just where depth comes in. We all would love to see more Marcus Morris, more Sam Merrill, more Craig Porter Jr. But there's only 48 minutes in the game, and you're not going to, you know, you're going to ride or die with the guys who are making the big money, because there's a reason they're making the big money: the Donovan Mitchells, the Darius Garlands, the Jared Allens, and so on.
Outside of Darius Garland and Jared Allen, and even really, well, Evan Mobley's not in this category. I'll explain what I'm saying here in a moment. So take away Garland, take away Jared Allen, probably take away Donovan just because the numbers were, okay, and take away Garland, or Mark Mitchell, excuse me. Do you know who's having the best, like, seven-game stretch right now on this team, playing-wise, in the month of April and even at the end of March?
So we took away Allen, Mitchell, and Garland.
Yeah, and I know everyone's like, "Oh, that's not the, that narrows it down quickly," but I'm talking just based off of numbers. Yeah.
Oh, based off of numbers over the last seven games.
Yeah.
Would it be LeVert?
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Okay.
Averaging over 18 points a game. Those other guys I say take out are averaging more. I'm just basing off the point totals, but also like his minutes are higher. I mean, that's, you know, Caris LeVert's a big streaky shooter. We talked about it for the last few years here on this podcast, but he's also a veteran guy. But he's also had a great start to the year earlier this season, kind of had a little lull in the middle. And then now he's catching fire at the right amount of time as well.
Yeah, right. With LeVert, he's somebody who can break people down off the dribble, and that's a huge thing, is to be able to break people down off the dribble. And I think that, you know, when it comes to playoff time and nobody else can get things going, if that should happen. And if you remember, John, he was probably the one guy against the Knicks who probably played the best of the series of any of the Cavs.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what I mean?
About that. Yeah.
Because he can break people off on down off the dribble, and everybody's focusing on Mitchell and Garland and Mobley, you know, and that's where somebody like LeVert comes in. And it's like, the one thing I will say about LeVert is he will break you down off the dribble and sometimes take these crazy shots. He makes up for it too, because other times when he breaks people down off the dribble, he'll go in and create for somebody else underneath, whether it's usually Allen or Mobley. I think they're going to be relying on him heavily. Isaac Okoro had, you know, was a non-factor, even kind of got benched in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
He's had a really nice regular season.
Okoro got exposed last year, but his offensive game this year has really increased and has improved immensely.
Right. And I mean, he was kind of shell-shocked.
Yeah.
When he got into the playoffs, you know, this is just a different game, and I think that he'll be more prepared for that. He did a nice job bouncing back during the regular season. John, you and I bring this up every time. Weren't the biggest Okoro fans at all coming into this year, and I think that he's done a real nice job in doing the things that need to be done. And you know, the thing about Isaac Okoro is he forces nothing offensively, and he knows his role. He doesn't need. You've got Mitchell, Garland, LeVert, Mobley. You know, Jared Allen's kind of in there. He's a guy who produces a lot without needing the ball, Jared Allen. But Isaac Okoro knows his role in there. It's like, I'm going to play really good defense. And he's the one guy I can say that he just forces nothing. Less than even probably he and Dean Wade. Just don't force anything on offense.
All right, let's get to our predictions here of this series. We don't know the rest of the schedule for the series. The NBA hasn't released it yet. They won't release it until middle of the play-in game, or the tournament's done, or at least
I'm not real sure.
Something around that time, sometime this week.
It's very rare that Adam Silver calls me and says, "Hey Sam, I'm going to give you a little heads up here." Very rare that good old Adam will do that.
Yeah,
I've tried to tell him. You know, Adam should call him.
He should do that. David Stern had you on speed dial.
Speed dial. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys would talk every night before bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't really happen, but it would have been a lot cooler if it did. All right. Prediction wise, we got game one coming up Saturday. I assume this game's going to tip in the afternoon, I think, if I had to guess. At the time as we record this, has not been released. But Sam, give me your prediction. Who's the winner of the series and how many games? And then give me give me two players that shine the best in the whole series, and then I'll give you mine.
Okay. My prediction is that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win the series in five games. They're going to return to something resembling the January team.
Mm.
Orlando's going to be shell-shocked. I think that they're just happy to be there, the players. You know, now they're going to go in it to win it, but I think if the Cavs do what they need to do, Orlando's going to learn quickly that they're just not ready to take the next step. So I think the Cavs are going to win it in five. And the two players who shine the brightest, Donovan Mitchell, who was not fantastic by any stretch last year in the playoffs because the Knicks took the ball out of his hands. They just double and triple teamed him, and blitzed him every time he got the ball. So I think that he'll be able to overcome all that, even though he looks better to me this year when healthy than he did last year. This is probably his best year of his career when he's been healthy during that January stretch. So I'm going to pick him as one. I think Jared Allen. I think Jared Allen is going to bounce back from being mocked by Chase Smith and like-minded. Chase's like-minded little followers, and I think that Jared Allen's gonna have a nice series.
Well, I don't know how you got my notes, but you took everything off my
notes. Oh, good, good.
So I've got the Cavs in 5-2. If it's in 6 or 7, that's a massive disappointment and embarrassing.
Six is okay.
Yeah, but if it gets to 7, that's embarrassing and not ideal. I think they went in 5, but 6 wouldn't. I kind of teetered on that because if they go up 2-0 or 3-1, I could see Orlando sneaking one in there, maybe a last second shot or something.
Yeah, token game, token win.
Yeah, so I also picked Donovan and Jared, but for the sake of arguments and sake of not being sounding the same, because that's not the best thing for you to do podcasts or comparison stuff, I'm going to pick Donovan.
We don't really like each other.
What's that? Yeah, it looks like we like each other.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Evan Mobley and Donovan.
Okay.
Because nice like pick. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley kind of got a brunt of that backlash, last year. And he's had some backlash this year from fans. And we've been critical of Evan Mobley, too, at times because of his lack of development or, maybe not at the pace that we all want him to be. So right. I tend to think if Jared Allen is going to be the guy, but I also tend to think Evan Mobley, if there's a big breaking out party on a national stage, it's going to have to be this first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah,
hopefully it happens. It, we could be wrong too, but hopefully we're not. Hopefully
never,
we're right. Never,
never. We couldn't be
never.
Wrong.
You know. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I agree with you. This is it. You know, like you said, if worst case scenario they lose, then that's
we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. That won't be a great thing for anybody.
Before we wrap this up, quick NBA Finals preview. Do you want to throw NBA Finals prediction preview there as we record this
NBA
in April?
Finals?
NBA Finals is still 2 months away.
Ooh, that caught me off guard.
I know. See, you didn't know this when we prepped. I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Never even brought it up. I'm going to say the Denver Nuggets are going to emerge from the West.
Okay.
I also think the Oklahoma City Thunder could very well lose in the first round.
Yes, I would agree. I don't know.
So who's coming out of the East? I mean, Boston's the obvious pick, but there's just something about them that I don't trust. I would think, here's the thing. I'm just going to be different. I'm going to say that Boston's going to end up playing. You know who I'm going to say? Boston's going to play Miami in the first round. I'm going to say this finals. Denver Nuggets and Philadelphia 76ers.
Wow.
How's that?
How about that? I'm going completely different here. I've got Boston and Phoenix, and I got Boston winning.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Phoenix would probably play Oklahoma City in the first round. Am I right?
Phoenix would play. They've got the Timberwolves.
Oh, well, they're winning.
They would play the winner of the Denver and whoever they play in the seventh seed in the play-in, which could either be Sacramento, Lakers. Golden State, New Orleans, or Los Angeles Lakers. Which is interesting too. Think about this. We've talked about the face of the NBA is changing a lot, and what Adam Silver has got a lot of problems on his hand because there's no good American players in there. It's all international. Which hurts the game here in the States, but globally it's good. We're seeing the changing of the guard here with LeBron and Steph winding their careers down, especially LeBron. Look who's in the play-in game there. I mean, it's LeBron and Steph in the play-in game. How the mighty have fallen.
And they're going to have to play each other if they both win, right?
Yeah.
The Lakers play who?
The Pelicans.
In New Orleans. Right? Aren't the Lakers the 8th seed? New Orleans the 7th?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay. Yep. And then Golden State's playing Sacramento?
Correct.
In Sacramento?
Correct.
Not that that matters.
Yeah, not that that matters, but that game is in Sacramento.
Okay. So I think the Lakers will beat the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly. I think that the Pelicans are probably the better all-around team, but Lakers are going to get all the calls. So the Lakers are going to, and then the Pelicans are probably going to play the Warriors. Although the Warriors' time may be done, the Kings might be able to win that game at home.
The Warriors' dynasty is over. It's done.
Yeah, the dynasty's over, but I'm saying even their runs in the playoffs could be done. They could lose that game to Sacramento.
They could.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, if it's Sacramento and Oklahoma City in the first round, then I think the Thunder will get out of the first round. I think that the Thunder could also beat the Warriors. I don't think that they could beat the Lakers. The Lakers have had their way with them this year. I just don't think they match up well against the Lakers. So I don't think Oklahoma City or Minnesota are getting to the finals. Say that.
Yeah, the Lakers are, according to our guys in Vegas, are only a point and a half favorite to win that game against the Pelicans. And the Warriors are 2.5 point favorites on the Kings.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me like when the old, you know, those teams, those just as old Celtics and Lakers teams start getting old. That's what these guys are all like today. It's just like everybody gets old, man. Except for you.
We just don't see all those players with those big giant knee braces on like we did back in those days.
Oh, well, they don't need them because they hold them out as soon as they get a little tweaked knee.
Right. No, yeah. that knee brace industry is probably plummeting now because of load management.
Right. Yeah. Hey, he's got your knee bugging you? Okay. We'll hold you out for 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's funny.
And not tell anyone why.
We'll see what happens with that finals preview. We'll mark this down here as we record this.
Sixers Nuggets or Suns Celtics?
Yeah, Suns Celtics on my end here.
People are forgetting about the Clippers. You're not giving the Clippers a chance?
No, I'm not. I'm not. But okay. You know who could be a sleeper there? Dallas.
Yes, Dallas could be.
Dallas could very well be a sleeper here.
I'd like to see Dallas get to the finals one of these days.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Luka's there, man.
We need Mark Cuban doing his thing on the sidelines on the NBA's greatest stage.
Those are the days. Him arguing. Yeah. I don't even know if he does that anymore.
He still does. He still hangs around. He gets more intense as the series go on. As the stakes rise, Mark Cuban gets more antsy and ornery.
That's the guy. That's the guy you love, man.
You know why? I could email him right now, and he'll email me back within the next 5 minutes.
You know what we need to do in the next podcast? We need to test that theory out.
I'll do it. Yeah,
we're gonna start the podcast with, "Hey, welcome in, blah blah blah." Sam's gonna send Mark Cuban an email right now.
Yeah.
The next 45 minutes of the duration of this podcast. Let's see how long it takes for him to respond.
There's not been a person in the NBA retweet me more than Mark Cuban. And I don't know if that makes me special because I think he retweets a lot of people, but I only care about me.
Hey, but Dan Gilbert responds to your emails.
Yeah. Adam Silver does too. But Adam's normally like, "Hey, thanks for the email. No." Yeah. So yeah.
Hey,
anyway.
We'll see. Yeah. We gotta write that down after we do our game one recap. That'd be a fun little experiment.
Can I promote something real fast?
Go for it, man.
Speaking of which, podcasts, in about 9 hours I'll be recording on the Mark Price podcast. He's having me join again this week for kind of a playoff preview there. So Mark Price for Three, also on Apple Music. You can download it there. I think it comes out Tuesday, but we're recording it tomorrow, playoff preview. So nice. Cavs legend Mark Price will give his thoughts as well, I'm sure.
And I will tell you this too. I am have tentatively scheduled a podcast with my brother that we host, Sable Brothers in the Baseline here on the Press Play Podcast Network, with a Cavs playoff preview with a former Cavalier. We're doing it on Wednesday, Ricky Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about that. That's pretty cool.
We've got that locked and loaded.
Was Ricky Davis ever in the playoffs? Is he an expert on the playoffs?
Oh, we can't let that. We can't leave this podcast.
He's watched a lot of playoff games.
Yes, he has. Good guy, by the way. Great guy. I've talked with him a few times on the phone. Fantastic. Great person. And kind of gotten a bad rap because of triple double snafu, but which we will get into. And to answer your question, Ricky Davis had played in 11 postseason games, all with the Boston Celtics, after he left the Cavs.
Wow. Boy, that was a dark time for the Celtics. Wow. Oh, yeah, man. I vaguely remember him being there in Boston. Didn't he start in Charlotte, maybe?
Yeah. Then Miami, Cleveland, Boston, Minnesota, Miami again, and then the Clippers, the last time he played in the NBA was 2010 and went overseas.
If I had played in the NBA, that's what I would want to be. I would want to be a guy who played for like 12 teams. Just think of all the free gear.
Oh, I know. And that's, it's funny. I used to ask like guys this all the time, and like these former athletes, and they always look at me like I'm nuts. Like, do you still have all your jerseys or do you still have all your stuff? And a lot of them are like, what? I'm like, yeah, man. Like, do you still have them? And a lot of them do. Like, Mark Price, you're going to go on his podcast tomorrow morning. Mark, his wife has saved every single jersey, I think shorts. I'm not sure about the warm-ups. I can't remember what he told me. But he has every single jersey from every team he played for. And multiple, like, duplicates and stuff, too.
Wow.
Who was another guy that did that? Eric Metcalf was that way, too, with the Browns, when I asked him that question.
Who else did he play for?
Metcalf?
Yeah.
He played Cardinals? For the... I think he played for the Cardinals, but he played for the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. That's who I'm thinking of. I get the bird teams confused.
Yeah. Yeah. Baseball players, that's another one too. Like, because those guys get traded all the time because league.
It pays to be a journeyman.
Yeah. So it's kind of a cool thing. Yeah. But yeah. All right, man. Well, Cavs and the Orlando Magic will tip off Saturday as we record this here. Game time, TBA, Sam and I assuming this could be a afternoon game. We will record a post-game podcast at some point there after game one on Saturday. So if you haven't already subscribed on the podcast, you'll get that delivered to your device. Once we do that, we'll be doing podcasts after every single game this playoffs, and hopefully Chase Smith can rejoin us for this game coming up this weekend. If you haven't already, like I said, subscribe to the podcast, but follow us on Twitter, follow the pod at Cavs on the Break, follow Sam at Amika Hoops, read everything Cavs and everything NBA playoffs at hoopswire.com, and follow yours truly at John_Sable. Sam, let's see if our predictions come true, man.
I'm looking very much forward to it. I think this will be a way for the Cavs to vindicate themselves a little bit in the eyes of some of the people who love them.
First steps, game one. We'll talk to you then after game one, Saturday night, right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll talk to you then.
Congratulations, Cleveland. Your decades-long wait is finally over. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.